Call the meeting to order at regular council meeting, Carmengate Community Center, June 17th at 7:10 p.m. Approval of the agenda for Tuesday, June 17th. Are there any additions to the agenda?
I would like, what was it, Kelly? The sign.
Lions.
I would like this
the Lions Club sign.
Added
so
on.
E?
Yeah.
Under new business?
Yeah.
The information sign?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any other additions or errors? If not, can I have a motion to approve?
I can motion to approve the agenda.
Okay.
With the addition.
All those in favor, and it is carried. Approval of the minutes from Tuesday, May 20th, 2025.
I will approve.
Okay. Any discussion on that? If not, all in favor, and that is carried. Public Works report. How's it going with his water stuff?
It's going all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What is Wi-Fi Man not working for SCADA?
It's an app that we have to log into on our phones. It's a VPN. I think, to get into the SCADA system, and it wasn't working on his phone for some reason. His iPhone didn't update, and then it wouldn't work. But Scott Smith from MPE got him a new app that works fine. So
okay.
He can remote into the plant still.
Okay. Skip it. Any other questions about his report?
What does he do, a cemetery check for grave sites?
I sent him out there to mark off a family plot to see if there was space for additional people.
Sort of dying to get in.
You're so funny. Okay. Admin report. Sorry, I didn't have a chance to look at the email.
Fine. I apologize. It was late. I printed everything off and then went, I'm missing my report on there.
How did the interviews go?
Really good.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I think I've got a good option.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And how was that AM municipal leaders?
It was good.
Of course.
Yes, it was good. I just did some presentations and sat beside some interesting people that I chatted with. And yeah, counselor from High River and the mayor of Hillspring and CAO of Raymond and former police chief in Lethbridge, who's a counselor for the city.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's quite a good group. I was the only one from Vulcan County there. There's nobody else there.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, and Dinah.
Yeah.
I used to like those meetings, but they didn't often have them in the south.
Yeah. Last year I went, it was in Stirling, which was a bit more of a hike to get to, so the tribute was quite lovely.
That's really close. Okay. Are there any questions on that? If not, can I motion to approve those two reports?
I can make the motion to approve those two reports.
Okay, all those in favor? And that is carried. Correspondence.
We got a lovely handwritten note from MP Shields thanking us for... Mayor Nichols and Council, has been a privilege and an honor to represent the community of Carmengate for the past decade. Martin Shields.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Thank you.
Okay, financial reports.
So some of it is on page 11. I also think that your page numbers are wrong. Okay. Sorry about that. So the statement of cash is on page 11. And the payment registers follow that. And then income statement and budgetary is on the attachment.
Have you heard much about the tax notices that went out?
Nope.
I've had a couple people thank me.
Oh.
Or thank council for keeping that they didn't see a huge increase.
Good.
And when they hear about the education tax and see that portion, they're quite happy that we tried to keep them reasonable.
Nice. Yeah, we haven't had anybody come in complaining, so that's good.
And I heard Guyan Rapids, this went up $480 or whatever, just because it was assessed on this house.
Mm-hmm.
And next year we could have a problem if her house goes for what she's selling it for, that could affect everyone in the village.
Mm-hmm. In talking with people at the Leaders Caucus or whatever, most municipalities still raise their tax rates even though the assessments all went up too. So I said, well, we were able to lower ours. So I was quite happy with that. But we also cut some expenditures, like with the backhoe and the dump truck not having to be paid for anymore. Like we don't have as much expense.
And the water operators.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for the MasterCard printout.
You're welcome. I love it.
I like that.
It makes my life so much simpler when I look at the MasterCard and say, wow, what is this? Why did we pay this? So, really good.
Okay.
The one I did want to point out is admin revenue. No, hold on, which one is it?
Tax penalties?
No, it was a payment for, we just were holding the money for a community group. It was a grant.
Oh.
And then we paid it out. And it showed, oh, it's in, under the expense. Admin other expenses.
Yeah.
So that.
That's why it's 14,000.
That's why 7,300 in the hole. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a payment to a community group for grant money that we were just holding. So that we need to fix that because that's not properly allocated. So it just needs to come out of this clearing account for community grants instead. And the other incorrect entry is 261,110. The Municipal Planning Commission shows that we've spent 2,600 year to date. That money should have went into developmental contracted services. That would have been our WORSC entertainment. I think we've actually only spent $150 for MPC.
Now, with the county cleaning up those lots for us with the in-kind, how do we track what they've spent?
Nels will do me up a spreadsheet if I ask them.
Okay. Those lots look good.
Boy, they are. I've had a few comments on it, too. And even Ellie asked about them.
already talked to her way too much.
Are they two separate
she
titles?
She has been over, actually,
yes.
She,
okay. Yeah.
They wanted to borrow my water.
Can I have a motion to approve the financial reports? There's no questions?
I will.
Okay, any discussion? All those in favor? And that is carried. Old business, LGFF grants.
Okay, so I have submitted for 3 different projects. I got denied for the tree replacement program or tree trimming. They said that that is considered normal maintenance and they will not cover something like that. So I'm going to approach CCBF next and see if we can't get money that way. I don't know.
Yeah.
So my projects are for the infrastructure master plan. Then I have 2 combined under 1 topic for TP ring upgrades as well as park revitalization and trail maintenance, because it had to be at least 23,000. Mm-hmm. It has to be 10% of what we're getting, so 21 something. So I put those together and it works out to be about, I think that one's about $30,000 with the 2 put together. We don't have to spend it all, but I just needed to allocate it into a grouping. And then the other one was for water upgrades, I believe. So those have all been submitted. They're waiting for approval. Once we get approval, then we get our funding. So.
Have we got the final bill for McNally's?
Yes.
Is that in there? Did I just
I don't know if it was actually paid yet, to be honest.
Okay.
It was just over $70,000.
Mm. Okay.
I think we just got it at the end of May, actually.
And it was grant funding.
It was
that grant funding. Funding, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Did we submitted a grant for the infrastructure mapping?
Yes.
Did we hear anything about that?
Not yet. That's under this LGFF. So there. Looking at all my applications. I did get a call right away that trees were not allowed, so I had to take that one. They sent that one back to me, and I had to reapply, so that's why I put it into trail and park maintenance.
Okay.
I've had a few people comment that there needs to be more garbage cans along the McFarland Trail, things like that.
Well, could that be even some garbage cans in here or something?
Yeah.
Or lighting, or even
and
that, the sign?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, and Scott texted me last Wednesday on garbage day and said that the bottoms are out of the garbage cans at the TP rings. So I said, limp through for a few more weeks because I don't want to go buy $200 worth of garbage cans or $500 worth of garbage cans if we're going to replace them with better steel, good ones. So, yeah.
All right. Backyard bees.
Okay, so I did not hear back from any other municipalities still. So my suggestion moving forward, Airdrie currently is running a pilot program, and depending on the feedback that they get, they may recommend to council that they amend their land use bylaw to allow urban beekeeping. They're quite strict with their parameters, so all the neighbors must provide written confirmation that indicate that they are not opposed to having beehives located on their neighbor's property. Permission can be revoked if medical documentation is provided from a neighboring resident. The pilot can be cancelled with council authority with 30 days written notice, and property owners and beekeepers have to be available for inspection upon request, so they have to be abiding by all the rules. They do require a beekeeping course that's approved by the City of Airdrie, and what I thought was really interesting is that they must demonstrate that they have support and assistance of a mentor for the first year, and that mentor must provide their name and contact number to the municipality so that they can be contacted to make sure they're following all the rules. So, and then the same as before, like they have to register with the government for premises ID.
Okay, the adjacent neighbors or whatever,
mm-hmm.
is it just one on each side, or does it go further ways?
That would be up to council to decide, like how big of a radius you want to cover. So, yeah, it just says all neighbors must provide written confirmation from adjacent neighbors, I guess. So, but I mean, bees fly. So if you want to go two or three neighbors away, then you kind of have to go two or three neighbors that way too.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's something.
I like the part where it said if they have a health issue or whatever, it can be revoked. That's a good thing.
How many people in this village want bees?
I think just the one. Yeah.
Two.
Who?
Oh, I guess two. Yeah.
No, I don't think my neighbor's going to.
No.
Not in town.
Okay.
I mean, he can only have one in town.
Mm-hmm.
And for that would be a pain in the ass for him, because he has them all over out of town.
Mm-hmm.
True. I think Cornish doesn't care if we're about the...
But is some of them, they might not be willing to take the course with the guidelines.
I did talk to Owen, and he said it's... Because I said to him, he asked where we were at with it, and I said, well, that you were still doing research for us, and that it was actually pretty strict. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, it's very strict guidelines.
Yeah.
But things can tank an entire hive, and, you know, with a parasite or with whatever. So when is Airdrie doing their review?
They said that it was supposed to be a one-year pilot, but it's still going on.
Okay.
So it's been more than a year, and they're just kind of letting it go. I don't know when they're making a decision. I think that was included. There was another, I think Leduc also responded.
So then is it up to the ag industry to police that? Like, how do we enforce the bylaw if we were to allow it? Like, how?
They would need to provide their yearly registration, I think, maybe to the village, just to prove that they registered under the Alberta Bee Act, and maybe provide us with their premise ID number in case anything does come up, and then we can give that to... I honestly don't know how that would work. Like, I guess we'd be in charge of policing that they're following the rules, like that they've taken a course and that they have their registration and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Something we could put down that's a requirement, I suppose, that they once a year issue the proof of there. But I you know what, the one that is applied, I really can't see a problem with it at all, but my thought on it is once some of the rest of the population sees one doing it, then...
That's kind of, like, that's my concern is, so we put this in place, but, like, not everybody has... People have chickens, but they don't necessarily have a permit.
I have not given out one chicken permit in the whole time I've been here. So, and it's supposed to be an annual thing, I'm pretty sure, right? So.
And they're a lot less susceptible to things than bees are. So you allow it, but then people bring in bees, and who enforces?
Yeah,
like, that's my concern is who enforces it. Like,
bylaw officer would have to enforce it. So we'd have to maybe work with Gabby and Kaylee and make sure that the wording of it is enforceable and, I don't know, that they're okay with it.
Well, my thing is it's a lot of BS for two people out of 200 and whatever we have in this town. And then, like you said, when one gets it, you have people that already shirk the bylaws.
Yep, exactly.
Well,
so you'll have the two that will follow the rules, and then the ones that don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ones that will not take any course but will do it, and they run wild.
Correct, for everybody else.
This is...
I'm inclined to just go with not having it at all.
Okay. So do I get a motion to have Kelly pursue backyard bees and licensing?
Sure.
Okay. I'll have that motion.
Make that motion.
Okay. All in favor? Any opposed? And it is defeated.
So then that means... I'm good with that, actually. That's what I thought I was going to.
Okay. Sorry. Fire hydrant repairs.
You worded that really weird.
You can't have a negative motion. You have to defeat the motion. So that's why she worded it that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I received two quotes. The third company got back to me and said that they don't actually do hydrant repairs. They will do full hydrant replacements and water lines and things like that, but they don't repair. So the first company, the quote is for $6,408 plus GST. They have two conversion kits to fix the fire hall hydrant and one on Pacific that's not working, and then replacements on four others, I believe. Oh, three conversion kits, sorry. So they're fixing three full hydrants and then parts on another one. And then the other quote that I received, I got confirmation that they're actually quoting us on a full rebuild kit. But he said that it would cover the bits and pieces of that kit, would cover all the things we need fixed, which I don't really understand, because these guys are giving us three full hydrants, these guys are giving us one. So, the second quote is $6,317, but I hesitate to trust it, because even though I confirmed with him and he got back to me today that that covers what needs to be fixed...
And the other one was only 64, huh?
It was 64, but it itemizes out exactly like $1,672.75 per conversion kit. And that includes all their travel, all their material, all their equipment, everything. Whereas these guys are $1,308 times two for technicians to attend, $170 subsistence, $742.50 for mileage, trailer daily charge of $225, a truck charge of $145, and then their hydrant repair is $1,595. But there's only one of them. And then 2.5-inch pumper port replacement is $487.98, and then gaskets are $35. I feel like I have more faith in this one.
Yeah. I agree.
These guys were very hard to contact, very hard to get answers from. Even though they have done business with Village before, like, I don't know. And this company was recommended to me by another CAO that has done business with them and said they were great.
Okay.
So that's why I contacted them, but...
I'll make a motion to go with Precision.
Okay. Doing any discussion on that motion?
Are you familiar with them? Like, do you know anything? No.
Okay. All in favor? And that is carried.
Salt Spring concession. I did actually hear back from her today. She sent me copies of the signed agreement and has popped the originals in the mail. So that is dealt with.
Okay.
A few.
Subdivision request.
Okay. So I received the survey information from Steve today. They are looking to subdivide two parcels of land and then leave the third as their larger property. I did confirm it with the property owner today that they are dividing out two properties, and she said yes, but their plan is to only develop one. So I said, well, we need to know for future development just two additional developments. Three. But there'll be three on that lot. So that's their existing house and then two subdivisions. I got a quote from MPE. Did I forward this?
Yes.
Okay, so I don't need to read it. It would be $4,000 to $5,000 for the updating of the WaterCAD model that was started in 2023. They would also need me to pull historical water consumption reports for all the along Alta Vista for up to 3 years. And then they'll do a model on different development scenarios along Alta Vista and try and identify whether there's any deficiencies or if there's additional services available. They will provide us with a short 2 to 3 page memorandum and would exclude development of figures or drawings. Only screenshots from the WaterCAD model would be provided. So when I talked to Steve at ORSC about this, he said if this is only to develop one or two properties, then generally municipalities will pass that cost along to the developer. So that's one option. I also was contacted by Alberta Environment because the property owners contacted them about the option of drilling a well. They said that they were denied water from the village, and so now they're looking at other options. So he contacted me to get clarification, and I said, no, we're still working on it. So Steve told me that the bylaw says that development must be connected to village infrastructure if and when it's feasible. So if I know one of the concerns is fire suppression out there.
Yep.
When I talked to Gavin, he said that there are the two hydrants out there. We do have the hydrant flow testing on them. So I don't know if they'll look at that with this analysis. But he said if any new lines were run out there, they would need to be a minimum of 6 inches, ideally 8 inches, in order to provide adequate fire flow. And that would require also upgrading a bit of the Alta Vista line to loop it around so that there's
constant flow.
Flow and then supporting those hydrants that are out there. So the other request I had from the property owner was to tie right into the main and run a line across the neighboring property and into the subdivided property. Steve did say that we could get register easements on that so that the village would have access to the line if anything did go wrong. We have to fix it.
So then does that mean the property owner could never develop across the easement?
They probably couldn't build a house right on top of the water line, yeah.
But like trees and that kind of stuff, because shrubbery, like...
I don't know what that would mean. I
can look if into we're that. Supposed to have access.
True. Yeah.
Because wasn't his plan to do a Saskatoon farm?
Yeah.
I mean, before we...
Another suggestion for the costing of this water modeling was... Well, personally, we don't have budget money for it. I think it's very expensive for one to investigate water for one property.
Well, I feel kind of lied to because at the last meeting they said it was for one property for
yeah.
a family member. It wasn't a subdivision of two.
No.
So off the get-go, there's been misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a water line going across, I think it should be in our right-of-way, not
that.
Across somebody else's property.
Absolutely. Yeah,
we're not with an agreement with an adjacent landowner.
Mm-hmm.
That's not our business.
Okay.
That's my two cents.
I agree. The other thing that Steve pointed out is that if the village was to pay for this, then it could be for nothing. If the property owner decided, oh, we changed our mind, we don't want to
well,
develop
but didn't
now.
You say that for like one or two like that, it's
he said generally
passed on?
Yes, he said generally that's when you would pass on the cost to the developer. But then if you tell them that they need a water test like this or whatever it's called, water CAD model or whatever for flow and distribution, they could find their own engineer to do it, and then they would just have to provide us with the report, because if they're paying for it, then they would have the right to go to whoever they want. But Steve suggested that MPE would probably be more efficient for them, because they have our CAD model and everything already. Mm-hmm. So it would be less work in the background.
Well, what I would say is if, I mean, even if we did tell them that if they wanted to pay for that to find out, mm-hmm. then by all means, let's go and do it. But one will be a big difference than two. But yeah, we would need data.
We need something
to back up any decision. But if they wanted to pay to, we could go through MPE. And but I mean, yeah, like if it's one, that could make a big difference. But by putting two on there, even if they don't develop it, you got to have.
It needs water for future development. There needs to be
and
that
you
got to
consider
capacity.
It's two.
Yeah.
Because if we go ahead and say, okay, if you're going to just do one right now or there, but all once we approve it and everything, they could go ahead and do the second one, and we got nothing done.
The other question I had was, and I don't know if I asked the property owner if we have records in the village somewhere, was what the size of the line is that feeds that house, and whether or not they could just tap into that line. Because then if there's any flow issues, it only affects those two properties other than fire protection. Fire protection is still not.
But
if it's off of that line, it doesn't matter because
that house doesn't have it now.
Mm-hmm. We don't use that line. We use the hydrant line.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But the hydrant's still 4 inch. So
yeah.
You don't have any record of when they went on, when they bored under the road?
If I could have a year, then I could look through boxes, but I haven't had a chance to dig.
Like, but something that recent isn't documented?
No. You know approximately what?
It's 2017.
Nope. I think that's I was there till 2018, so look at like 2018,
2019-ish. Okay. Not that I don't have anything.
I think I started all the development files online here, so it goes back to 2022. That's when I was here. But I will look to see what we have. And there's a development agreement on title at land titles on those three properties, but that was for the previous property owner, and it was an agreement with the village and him as a developer on what he needed to do to subdivide those properties. So this property owner found it and wanted to know what it entailed, and that's what Steve told me, is it has no effect on the current property owners. It's just for the original before he subdivided what he had to do. So. And one of the conditions was to ensure that there was adequate water for those three properties. So technically, the vacant subdivided lot that's there currently that's owned by the tree farm needs to have a source of water according to that development permit. So that would be one for sure already that, and I don't know that there's a line there. I don't know if that was ever put in. or not.
I don't think it had.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it was.
No, because I think that guy was totally counting on a new line coming from the river,
mm-hmm.
untreated.
Yes, but in the previous owners, they hadn't decided what to do with development, so they didn't have anything.
Mm-hmm. I would say, we ask them if they want to pay for the water capacity study and get the data from that.
Okay.
What do you guys think?
Carolyn's really very gung-ho for this, so.
Like you say, we don't have the money right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, no.
And if they want to pay for it, then once we get the results and stuff, then we can.
Okay.
So do we need a motion?
Maybe to direct me to do it?
How do we word it?
Yeah, I move that Kelly approach the owners to for the request to get a quote for the water capacity study and to see if they're willing to pay for it.
Thing about the data needs to be provided.
Provided to
the data results.
Yeah.
And the data results provided to the village for
yep.
further yep. discussion for decision making.
Is that what you were saying?
Yep. My thoughts exactly.
Any more discussion?
Words in his mouth.
Any more discussion? All those in favor? And that is carried. Water plant repairs upgrade.
The piping was all completed and the fire pump was activated a week and a half ago and did not flood the plant.
Nice. Okay, new business.
You just to go through it?
Sure.
Okay, Barron's Family Fun Day. We have been invited to participate in their parade on Saturday, July the 5th. Just wondering if anyone is free and interested.
I don't think we're around.
Okay.
We are supposed to take Jen's niece out. We're picking her up this Friday from the States.
Cool.
And then we're taking her out to BC for that week.
Nice.
Might be around.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Oh,
we don't need to pre-register?
We don't need
okay.
to pre-register, so
okay.
that one's a little less
okay.
strict than the Vulcan one that wanted to know. But
okay.
So we can play it by ear if anybody wants to participate.
Okay.
Just need to let Scott know a couple days in advance to get the
float ready.
Float in the truck.
Okay.
All right. I had a request from a resident that we discuss amending our cemetery bylaw to require a headstone or marker of some sort be placed if someone is buried there. Because there's a few unmarked graves, I guess, or there's becoming an issue or was an issue.
So
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I assumed it was already part of the cemetery bylaws.
I don't think it's in there, no.
Okay.
We looked through it and it doesn't say anything, but I can bring a draft to the next meeting.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
Because I think it should be in there.
Yeah.
I know Todd's done a fabulous job of marking
yes,
ones
yes.
that old ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, he made a couple of headstones.
Yeah. Okay.
Champion, their public works foreman, resigned. His last day is tomorrow. Their other public works officer is off on WCB and is not sure if he's coming back. Champion is looking for water operator coverage in the interim. I just noticed tonight that she did put a post out asking for a member of the public to be interested. Instead of doing it through Public Works, they're just looking to hire an independent contractor to work an hour a day and do the water. She was wondering if we would be interested in lending them Scott until they have coverage.
Lending them, or?
Well, I think we would get paid, but I don't know.
Didn't they have Barron's covering?
Yes. So she sent it to me and Jen said that their operator would be able to help, but wouldn't be interested in doing it long term, just because it's just that much farther for him to drive every day and have
to deal. Oh, it's like a daily thing.
Yeah.
It is a daily thing for them, I believe, yeah, because I don't know that they have the full SCADA system that we do for monitoring and call-outs and stuff.
In that poster, it said
5 days a week.
Wow. An
is
hour a day.
Scott is interested in doing?
He said yes. I don't know that I would like to put that on him right now, to be quite honest. And
how much responsibility and liability does it put on us?
Yes. Mm. I feel like if
Barron's, one thing to fill in.
Yeah. If Barron's can cover for them in the interim, then maybe we can come to like an agreement to like back each other up for holidays and weekends and things like that between the three municipalities. But I don't know that it's something we want to
5 days a week.
Do 5 days a week.
Yeah, that's taking a lot out of here.
I would just worry for Scott if anything did go wrong. That
so he's so brand new.
He's yeah. very brand new.
Don't want to burn him out before.
Yeah. And they go through a lot of people in Champion, so I can't.
Yeah, for no real apparent reason.
So I really don't want to get involved in that.
Okay. Respectfully decline.
Okay.
Yay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so the roving energy manager program is completed. I sent out their report to you guys as a separate document. There is a $10,000 grant that is available to deal with any of the deficiencies that they found. One of the big ones in our office is the weather stripping around the back door. When we sit in the back and have lunch or whatever, you can feel cold air coming up under the door, which is lovely in the summertime, but it's really terrible in the wintertime. So that was one thing that they said, if we just got better weather stripping.
In the back door? Oh, in the cold room?
Yeah.
Okay.
Into the file room. And then we have a couple of lights that haven't been transferred into LEDs, so they suggested that. For the shop, the weather stripping around the back man door is worn out and air's coming in. That's just showing that it's an incandescent bulb instead of an LED. Just things like that. The other thing would be programmable thermostats for the shop and possibly the water plant, just to keep temperatures set.
And if you don't have programmable ones, though?
No. Just a few different things that they suggested. And there's lots of things in the shop that Scott could do differently, like unplugging things that aren't in use, having like a power bar for a bunch of things and just shutting it all off, things like that.
On Friday when he goes home?
Yeah, and not leaving the lights on over the weekend and overnight and stuff like that. Like there's just some habit
changes
that can help.
Tell him the more he saves on his energy, the more tools he can buy.
So that's just more for FYI, but
okay.
And then if you guys are okay with it, and I can look at their report and their suggestions and We have to do the changes. I apply for the program, or I apply for the grant, list what changes or what upgrades we want to do. We pay for them, and they reimburse us after the fact.
So. Yep.
Based off these?
Yes.
Okay.
And I have to show the parameters of why it's going to be an energy-saving change and things like that.
Okay.
Makes total sense.
It was interesting. It was an interesting program. They did a ton of data crunching for me and made pretty graphs and all sorts of things. So.
Right up your alley.
I like my graphs and my Excel. So.
Well, the program thermostats actually, that'd be pretty good because mm-hmm. that automatically shut down in the
at night.
Yeah, at night when you went home. And then in the morning, even an hour before he got there. It
can turn back on. And then it's not
quite a bit.
Set quite as high.
When you go in on a Saturday afternoon and it's like 10 degrees in the freaking post office and you know that the air conditioner's been running since 4 o'clock Friday, you're like, why?
Yes, we have a programmable one now. It's set to go on at 8 a.m. and off at 4 p.m. And I think the temperature that the AC kicks on evenings and weekends is 28.5. Like, I set it really high. So, yeah. And then the heat doesn't kick on unless it gets below 16. So, if we could do something like that in the shop, too, then it doesn't. Because the furnace runs a lot in there. And I know it's because of the big door, but I also know it's because it's set at, like,
so if you bought that now, you can just start a tab?
Yeah. Yeah, I have to put in what I'm going to do into the program application, and then I can just kind of pick away at it, and I think I have a year to get it all finalized.
Because I would say let's do that thermostat right away.
Okay.
Because that won't take long to pay for itself.
Okay. Are we supposed to talk about this?
No, I just need that signed.
Okay. Yeah, that's part of my package.
I think I gave you my pile of documents. That's fine.
You can keep that one.
Okay. Yeah, I just need to sign it.
E, Lions Club Information Center.
Okay, the Lions were looking into getting this signed, and initially we were thinking that with their casino money and everything that they would try and get it. Any quotes we got, it's going to be between $36,000 and $40,000 for this sign. They could get one that was cheaper at $27,000, but for that one you have to apply for the Wi-Fi and everything, which could be like $2,000 a year every year for the rest of the sign life.
Oh,
so it wouldn't take long to get back up to that. This one, the one for 36 or whatever, once you have that Wi-Fi, it's done. It's good forever. It was voted on, or made a motion not to do it at the Lions Club because it was too much money. And so they decided that, which they wanted to do anyway, is get as many clubs as possible involved, which Dennis has, I think, a letter going to 7 or 8 or 9 different things. I know the Fire Association, the Community Center, the Curling Club, the Ag Society. I can't even remember. They've sent it to the county of Vulcan, who is apparently there is money for this division, Carmengay area or whatever, that is put aside for things like that, so they may. And who else? Oh, Rec Board.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I told them as a village, because we have our budget very strictly done and everything like that, that I didn't know if there's any money available, but I would bring it up, and if there was something from there, they were hoping to split it all, and I said, that won't happen. But, you know, if even, like they're even, I think, going to send some to the library to see if the library wanted to donate something. I think the sign is a really good idea. I think the information originally that they were thinking of putting it into the corner here. But if you drive down Alta Vista, and when you're coming in town, if it's in the corner of the campground right there, you can see it from a long way down. You don't see this one
until
you're
your
just
way.
About in town.
Yeah. Because there's that big, beautiful tree on the train stop sign. Yeah.
So when I said about that I think it would be better in the campground, they said, well, that would be even easier for us to run the electrical and everything there. We've got a panel and electrical panel and everything that they could tie into.
Mm-hmm.
So they're, you know, willing to do that. But I just didn't know whether the village could or would consider any money. I think they are going to send a letter anyway, but I did tell them I would bring it up.
Okay. I think it's a great idea to get notice out there.
Mm-hmm.
Our administrator runs such a tight ship, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't know whether or not you were able to put it in one of those community improvement grants.
I don't know. I can look into it.
The TP ring.
Yeah.
Community path. Community information.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, I would make a motion to look into it to see if we could possibly see about putting it in one of the grants. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want an official motion, or do you want me just to look into it and get back to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Reports. Orsk.
I forgot to ask you guys for your reports, so if you have anything orally or you want to email them to me later, I can.
I wasn't here.
Okay. Marquis, I did see that our requisition has been paid.
Yes.
That was one of the things that came up. Was Carmen Gay hadn't paid theirs yet. Our manor here is making money, which is huge, because for a lot of years it was running at a big deficit, but we're making money.
Nice.
And they did a grant and installed Nest for thermostats in all of the units, and they're removing them all and going back to the old school because they're messing with the furnaces.
Oh, no, really?
So they're in the process of taking them out and going back to the old way.
Hmm.
And they're still working on getting financing for the new lodge. So, hoping for another round because they have been denied, so waiting for another round.
Did they get denied for the second time?
What's the reasoning for the denial? Do they get a reason?
No. There's just not enough money for applicants.
Yeah.
And then next week we'll be doing our business plan, so it should be interesting. Solid waste, well, that's me too. So, the auditors were there and they were in a good financial position, which is different than what they've been in years past. They're currently working on policies and bylaws, and some of them really need to be updated. They're working on getting a website up and running for all the sites and information, because as the EPR program and the pesticide, it's always changing in the hours and stuff, so they're trying to get one place where people can access all that information.
So are we part of that end producer?
Yes.
Okay. Because I did email Dick a while ago asking, because I keep getting emails about it, and I never heard back. So.
And I reached out to him, and he said he was going to contact you that day. So
perfect.
I will remind him.
Okay.
they're looking at putting trail cameras up at some of the sites because people are insistent of breaking in.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. And the EPR program, they're keeping track of the time it takes to input because there's so much inputting required. So they're keeping track because they didn't account for the fact that it's extra, a lot of extra bookkeeping.
So how does that affect our depot here then? Is there any no change? I thought it was supposed to be curbside pickup. That's what
they have not talked about curbside pickup. From all they talk about is when it all goes to Vulcan.
Oh, okay.
Or it all ends up there, and then the sorting and the cost back to the Waste Commission is a lot higher for renewables. But the last meeting, it's like cardboard's tanked and plastic's tanked and glass is tanked, and so I don't know where we're really at. They started bringing in reefers where they put the mattresses in instead of putting them just in the general landfill. And there's a company in Tabor that takes a reefer at a time, and they dismantle them all or use all the parts to process.
Really?
Huh. And it saves tonnage and tippage fees because mattresses take up so much room in the trucks. So, so that's worked really well. So
I'm curious because the lady from High River that I sat beside, they've just implemented their curbside recycling, and it's free for all of the residents because it's part of this EPR program. Because it's paid for by the people that produce, so the paper producers and the cardboard, like whoever's manufacturing the waste pays the fees, basically, that go to give you free recycling. So that's what I thought was across the board from what the webinars I watched and stuff, too.
They never talked about the curbside.
Okay.
Not at any of our meetings. Just the money that the return on your renewables that you would get, or recyclables, I guess, is a lot greater than what it was before.
Mm-hmm.
So. Self-growth.
That meeting is Thursday night, and I'm going. It's in Coaldale.
Twin Valley Regional Water.
Haven't had a meeting for a while.
Okay. Mayors and Reeves of Southern Alberta. I did not make it.
And I didn't either, sorry.
It was in Tabor.
I was going to try and do it.
Virtually?
Yeah.
Okay, Vulcan County Regional Emergency Partnership Committee.
Haven't had a meeting.
Okay. FCSS.
That is coming up on Thursday, which we can't go to.
What time on Thursday?
7, I believe.
Oh, it'll be 5 o'clock. Did they change all the meetings to 5 o'clock? That's why I can't go to them.
Okay, I will look. I thought it said 7 when I...
Maybe I don't. That's why I had to quit going to them, is because it was 5 o'clock and I cannot make a 5 o'clock meeting.
Oh. Okay, I'll look. It's on my computer.
Okay, Vulcan County Communications Meeting?
That's in the fall after the election.
Where is that going to... Oh, I guess it doesn't matter. Where's it going to be at?
The meeting?
Yeah.
I think it's in Vulcan.
It's in Vulcan?
Yeah. And I believe that they want to do the local authority elected official course through the AEMA, so the emergency management one that day for all of you, and then the CAOs around the county were talking about doing Alberta Munis, like your elected officials 101 course that day too. So I don't know.
I like that when they did that in Lomond that time.
Do it all together
And
get it done. Yeah.
It's one long day, but it's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then VCRAMP's at 4:30 and communications is at 6.
Okay.
Women?
My schedule says.
Coming up?
October.
After the election.
November 6th.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I see we have some items for closed session. So can I have a motion?
I move we go into closed session.
Okay. 808. All those in favor? And that's carried. Come out of closed session at 8:46. PM. And can I have a motion?
Motion to use Okamira for our
survey
for you know where.
Okay. Any discussion on that? All those in favor? And that is carried. Is there anything else we need to discuss? I will adjourn the meeting at 8:46 p.m.